is that all of them call for reflection. If they're going to make any impact in your life, they're messages that you have to go and reflect on. So we talk about a praise audit. How do I know if I'm praising and thankful to God as I should? I have to do what the psalmist says in Psalms 103. Forget not all his benefits. How do I remember God's benefits? I have to reflect. You look at a Christian soldier. How do I know whether I'm entangled with the things of the world or if I'm living as God wants me to? I have to reflect and check my life. How does my life look? Mastering communication. How's my communication? What am I speaking? What am I believing? Excellence. How am I doing? I have to reflect. And today's message, we're carrying on along that theme of reflection. And I want to encourage us that when we hear these messages, let's go back to them. If you missed anything, the messages all go up on the website. Listen to them again. Because these messages, they don't come to us. It's God has a word for us. And the prayer is that what God has for us, we wouldn't miss in Jesus' name. So the wise person hears God's word, reflects on it, thinks about it. Something changes in their lives. The foolish person is there every Sunday hearing everything. By Wednesday, they've forgotten what they heard, done nothing with it. But my prayer is that none of us would be foolish people in Jesus' name. So it's the 12th of August, 2018, and I did a very rough calculation, very, very rough, on the percentage of the year that's passed and what's left. And so by my very rough calculation, the mathematicians in the house, don't check it, just let's flow with my calculations. So by my very rough calculation, 60% of the year is gone, right? And we have about 40% left. So 60% of the year is gone, 40% is left. And we're talking about reflecting. Now, I think that a wise person, it's a time to reflect and see how am I doing. And if you want to give the message a title, the title is, it's time for an appraisal. It's time for an appraisal. So some of us, an appraisal, what's an appraisal? An appraisal is an examination. It's an evaluation. It's looking at something to see how things are going. And there are all sorts of appraisal. For some of us in the workplace, we have performance appraisals in school. We have appraisals and all that. And you know, some people love appraisals. You might not believe me, but some people are strange like that. They actually love appraisals. There are people that love appraisals, exams, and things like that. Now, that might not be you. You might actually seriously dislike appraisals. But the truth of the matter is that appraisals, if they're done well, who do they help? People are thinking nobody. Okay, so your boss might be a very wicked person who's trying to use your appraisal against you. But put your boss aside. Normal appraisals, who are they supposed to help? The individual, right? Because an appraisal would show that, okay, in this area, maybe Fumi needs development in this area, or in this area, I'm not doing as well as I can be doing, or I'm not utilizing all my potential in this area, or something's gone wrong that I need to rectify, right? Now, if we don't have appraisals and we just carry on, I'll give an example of a slightly younger family friend who many years ago, I got a call from his family to please go with him for some formal meetings at his uni. What had happened? This dude was in uni. He was doing his exams, his tests, his assessments and all that, but he wasn't looking back at how are things going. And he suddenly gets a letter from the uni saying they're going to ask him to withdraw because he hasn't been doing well. And honestly, this guy, everybody's like, how can this happen to you and you don't know that it's coming? And he's like, he had no clue. It seems almost impossible, right? At least if you're failing, you know that you're failing. So he knew he wasn't doing well, but he thought he was, you know, the Nigerian term is let my people go. He thought, you know, they would let my people go and he would just sail through. So it came as a shock. Now, I am sure that in his same class, there will be students that knew exactly when they hit 2-1, exactly what they needed to get a first, right? Constantly appraising. So an appraisal, having an appraisal, make sure that if you've gone off track, before it's too late, you can get back on track. Okay, so those are some of the positives of an appraisal. 1 Corinthians 11:31. The context of this verse is they were talking about communion and people who had been taking communion the wrong way. And it says, but if we would examine ourselves, we will not be judged by God in this way. So they were going to come under judgment because they were taking the communion the wrong way. But Paul was saying to them that, look, if you examine yourself, some version says if you judge yourself, some says if you're more discerning about yourselves, you will not come under these judgments. So if we're appraising and we're checking to see how things are going, then we can rectify things before it's too late. So it's time for an appraisal. If 60% is gone and 40% is left, I hope everyone agrees with me that it's a good time to appraise, because we don't want to be appraising on the 30th of December when the whole year has gone. And the point of this appraisal is that if things have gone wrong, by God's grace, God helping us, we can rectify and get back on track with what God wants us to do this year. So different types of appraisal, different forms and sources of appraisals. We're not going to major on those. But when it comes to sources, there are four sources, four main sources of appraisals. You can have an appraisal from the enemy, from the devil. You can have an appraisal from others. Somebody is looking and appraising you. You can have a self-appraisal where you critically take a look at yourself. And most importantly of all, you can have an appraisal from God. You can have an appraisal from God. So when it comes to the enemy, his report, what he has to say, we have no interest in. So the enemy does not have anyone's good at heart. And to whatever he's saying, we don't want to listen to the enemy's voice. I like John 10:5. John 10:5. In this chapter, Jesus is talking about the sheep. And he says his sheep, they know his voice. And then in verse 5, he says, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but would flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So my prayer for you and my prayer for myself is that we will not follow the voice of strangers in Jesus' name. There are many voices in the world, and people hear appraisals and voices and advice that's enemy advice, and they go with it. But by God's grace, that will not be our portion, because we know our shepherd, Jesus' voice. That will be our portion in Jesus' name. Another source of appraisals is other people. Other people. And with other people, God can actually use other people to help you in appraising yourself. How can this happen? Okay, so blind spots, we all know blind spots. For those that drive, you're driving along, you're looking in your side mirror, you're looking in your back mirror, you think you see everything, but actually there's a spot that is a blind spot and you don't see. And if you pull out at that moment, disaster can happen. So everybody has blind spots, and there are things about myself that I don't see. But people who are close to me and watching me, they see it. In fact, there's some things about some people that everybody else sees. I'll give an example. There's someone that I know who, this person really, really likes to talk. So if you call a meeting or you say, oh, I need to discuss something with you, the odds are that by the end of that discussion, you wouldn't have said why you called that meeting. The person is just going to go on and on and on with what they have to say. And sometimes what the person is saying in that context doesn't make sense, but the person is just... And I was having a conversation with this person, and I was in shock, because this person actually thinks they're very good at listening. I was shocked. And it's like, are you kidding me? But that is obviously that person's blind spot. So that person, unless somebody says to them that, actually, mate, you don't listen at all, that person would go through life thinking, I'm a really good listener. But actually, it's like the opposite with that person. Other examples that might be a blind spot. I was listening to a message, and this pastor, very healthy-looking pastor, you know these pastors that look like they're very healthy anyway. So this guy, he said his doctor did a checkup. And that's another kind of appraisal, a health appraisal. And his doctor did a checkup and said to him that, look, you have to make some lifestyle changes. That you're, like, you're one of those people that on the outside, you look really healthy, but on the inside... So he said, the doctor said to him, you have to make lifestyle changes, because I don't want one day to say you went for a run and you just dropped dead. So the guy said that can never happen to him. And I thought he was going the Niger way. You know how we'll say, I reject it from head to toe, it can't happen. But actually, that wasn't what he was doing. He said he never runs, so he can't die running. But the point was that he heard what the doctor said, and he started to exercise a bit. And he said at first it was so hard going, he'll be exercising and he'll be saying, I hate this thing, I hate this thing. And then mindset and all that. So he started to change. And he said that actually now he loves exercise. So I claimed it when I heard him say it, that it's possible. Anyway, so that's another example where others can help you. Blind spots are amazing things. I recently had an appraisal at work, and it was an interesting one. Normally, when you have appraisals at work, it's your line manager to yourself. So it's normally just top to bottom. But this one is a really interesting one, and I really enjoyed reading what people had to say. It's called a 360-degree appraisal. So your line manager appraises you, your peers appraise you, those that report to you appraise you, those that are under you and those that are above you. So you get like a really, really round view, and it's all anonymous. So they can really pour their heart out and give it to you because they know you can't work out. I was able to work out some, but you can't work out generally who said what. But it's amazing because when I was doing that whole thing, I didn't think that they could say anything that I didn't know, right? But they said some things about my theme and my leadership style, which I didn't see, and I wouldn't have seen without that appraisal. And it was interesting, it wasn't the people who work immediately with me, it wasn't my direct reports, but it was others that are observing us, right? So that's what others can do for you, what others can do for you. Another example, it might be that, for instance, there's some areas where people see trouble approaching, right? And you don't see it. So I give an example. I was reading this yesterday. It's a really sad one, but a pastor, really big church and all that, 20 years ago, he's in his 40s now. So 20 years ago, he was like 22 years old, and he was a youth pastor in some other church. And as youth pastor, he went to drop one of the younger girls, a 17-year-old. And anyway, things went in ways that they shouldn't have gone. And he actually, so he tried to do stuff that he shouldn't, but I think he came to his senses before he actually did. So he didn't actually do anything with her, but he had asked her to. So the girl was in shock and all that, because this was somebody that they held in regard, her pastor, her youth pastor. So she reported to another pastor in the church who did nothing about it as well. So maybe he felt, well, nothing happened. Let's just move on. Let's not rock the boat. And that was it 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago. Now, this thing has come up 20 years later. He's now the pastor of a mega church. He's had to step down. The other pastor who did nothing about it, he wasn't involved, he wasn't there. But something was reported to him, and he did nothing about it. He's now in a different ministry, doing well in ministry. He's had to step down too. Now, it could be sometimes people see things that can cause problems. You know, the Bible says, flee every appearance of evil. And somebody might say to you that actually the way that you're always canceling these guys, I know it's from a good heart and all that, but it doesn't work. You have to put guards in place so that things don't go wrong. Now, that's someone. Paul did that with Titus. He said, let the older women, let them teach the younger women. You deal with the men. So that's something that you might not see. And because you're coming from a good place, a good heart, you just want to make an impact in their lives and all that. But that could be a blind spot that somebody helps you with. It could be a blind spot that someone helps you with. Galatians 6:1, we see examples here where we're told to look out for each other. Galatians 6:1, it says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. So even as you're helping people, you watch yourselves as well. We're talking about fellowshipping today in workers' meeting, and I love it. That's part of fellowshipping. Because if you see that your sister or your brother is heading for a ditch, and you're like, oh, well, I hope that when they fall down that ditch, it won't be too painful. That's not love, right? And actually, correcting people can be tough. And some temperaments are better than others. Some temperaments, in fact, it looks like they enjoy correcting people, right? And some others, you know, you have to pray and fast before you approach the person to go and correct them. However you need to do it, you do it. It's part of us fellowshipping together. But then there's the flip side. If you want people to help you with your blind spots, you have to be someone that is approachable. If somebody tries to suggest you might want to look at this in some way and you back at them, trust me, next time, even though the cliff is right there, the person's just going to keep quiet, right? So we have to make sure that we're approachable. We have to make sure that we're humble. It takes humility to listen to others. We have to make sure that we're teachable. You know, sometimes even your children can correct you. there was a devotion we were doing at home, and we were talking about areas where, you know, maybe we weren't doing so well in the past and we were improving. And it's not like I really wanted my sons to volunteer anything for me. It's like, you know, it's one of those devotions that, you know, let's just do devotion. Let me tell you what your issues are and how you're improving. But my son, Tony, goes to me, he says, you know, Mom, you're really much better now. You used to be really overprotective, but you're doing better now, you know? And I'm thinking, but I think about what the kid said, and actually he's right. When he was going to start walking for the bus, I didn't want him to, and left to me, he wouldn't have. There are a lot of things that those boys have done that left to me, they wouldn't have done, so thank God for their dad. But as a kid, he was observing that, and he could feed that back to me. And because I took it, like, okay, cool, next blind spots that he sees, in fact, he's not going to hesitate to let it loose. But sometimes that's how we learn. We have to be humble. We have to be approachable and teachable, able to take correction, able to take correction. There's a wonderful passage. It's a long one, but I'm going to read through it quickly where we see an example of this. 2 Samuel 12, verses 1 to 15. 2 Samuel 12, verses 1 to 15. It says, "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, 'There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children.'" And Nathan goes on telling him the story. This is the story of David and how he got Uriah killed because of Bathsheba. And he tells him this whole story, and David reacts to it and says, "That man must die. How could he do such a terrible thing?" I'm paraphrasing. And then in verse 13, after Nathan has told him that he's the man, this is what David does, verse 13. And you see David's heart here. "So David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.' And Nathan said to David, 'The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die.'" Now, when you think about the dynamics of their relationship, David was king. What if David said, "How dare you speak to me like this? I'm king. As in, and I'm not just king of any little land somewhere. I'm king of the land that God has blessed." But immediately David says, "I have sinned against God." And if David's reaction had been different, do you know David's story would have been totally, totally different? So blind spots, when people are trying to correct you, when people are trying to show you blind spots, it's in your best interest to listen. Do people always get it right? No, they don't. Because people, a lot of the time, they speak based on the limited information that they have, or they speak based on their biases. But that doesn't mean that there aren't people God would send to you. So don't discount everyone. Even if you don't agree with what's been said, take it on board. Pray about it. Ask God, is there something that I'm not seeing here that I need to be fixing here? And God would help us. That's fellowship, and that's community. That's loving each other. God would help us as we do that in Jesus' name. So self-appraisal, incredibly important. It's incredibly important because I would only run and work with what I believe. So actually, everybody could do that 360 degrees and write everything that they like. If I read it and I say, it's not true, I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm not going to try and develop or rectify anything. So self-appraisal is incredibly important. We read, the Bible reading was Revelations 3 from verses 14 to the end. And in that passage, what we saw God sent an appraisal to a church. So there were seven churches in Revelations 2 and 3. And those churches, each of them received a letter of appraisal from God. And God said, "This is your state. This is where you're at." And this church in Laodicea, it's an amazing thing. This was the one church that thought, actually, in every area, we're all right. We're doing good. And when you check the seven churches, God would give a positive, then a negative, then a correction, then the consequences of disobedience and what would happen if you obey. With the Laodicean church that thought that appraisal-wise we're doing so good, God did not have a single positive thing to say to that church. So self-appraisal, others' appraisal, it has to be through the light of God's eyes. And it's a good prayer point, and I recommend this prayer point to every single one of us, that we pray regularly, "God, let me see myself through your eyes." One of the churches, that church, they said, what God had to say about that church. It said, you have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. So what is God saying about you? What is God saying about me? 40% of the year left. In the different areas this year, how are you doing? The things that God has entrusted to you, how are you doing? In your relationship with God, how are you doing? You need to take time out and appraise so that things that need to be rectified, that 40% you would use well to his glory. And I pray that that would be our portion in Jesus' name. So seeing things through God's eye, very key, very key. Examples of people in the Bible who had appraisals. We've talked about David. Let's talk about David some more. We started by saying it's not just about how you begin, but how you end. David's appraisal at the start was amazing. I'll give you the Bible verses. We won't read them, but I'll give you the Bible verses. So 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. That's where God is talking about David. And he says, God has sought for himself a man after his own heart. That was David, his starting point. This guy's a man after my heart. And then we've seen in 1 Samuel as well, where things went a bit off track, the case of Uriah. But he didn't stop there. Immediately he repented. And by the time David died, Acts 13:36, and this is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, and I pray that this would be my testimony, God's testimony of me and God's testimony of you at the end of our lives in Jesus' name. But the end story of David, his appraisal at the end of everything, Acts 13:36, it says, for after David had served the purpose of God in his own generation, he fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. So he did not fall asleep. He did not die until he fulfilled the purpose of God for him in his generations. I pray for someone. You will not die until you fulfill God's purpose for you in your generation in Jesus' mighty name. That was David. He could have stopped with the case of Uriah and said, I've sinned against God and that's it. And his story could have ended there. Their appraisal could have ended there. But he didn't. He rectified. So here's my encouragement for all of us for the rest of this year. Take time out. Take time out. Take time out today to appraise. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you where you're at, where you're at. Some questions you can ask yourself. At the start of the year, how did your appraisal look? What were the things that you felt God had entrusted into your hands to do for this year? How's your prayer life? Has there been an increase in your prayer life? Are you praying more for others, or is your prayer life just selfish prayers all about yourself? And that's if you even have a prayer life. How are you doing? How's your word life? Are you studying? Are you meditating? Are you comfortable not gathering with the believers? We're talking about fellowship. How are you doing? Are you loving God's word more and more? How's your heart? Are you obeying God? I can say that I love God till I'm blue in the face, but if I do not obey his commandments, I don't love him. Are you obeying him? How are you doing? How's your service to God and others? Are you serving God on your own terms when it's convenient for you, or are you willing to go all out for God? Are you comfortable living in disobedience to God? Are you lukewarm? That Laodicean church, God said that they're lukewarm, and because they're not cold, because they're not hot, he said he was going to spit them out. How are you doing? In the challenges, the hardships, the tribulations, the sufferings that you might have been going through this year, what has your attitude been? What has your attitude been? Romans 12:12 tells us about rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And I'm going to end with this thought. You know, some Sundays ago when we're looking at David, we said how different categories of people were drawn to David. We said the distressed, those in debt, disillusioned people. Now, I think about David's life. David was doing all right. He was in the forest looking after the sheep. When the bear, the lions come, he will sort them out. He had a relationship with God. He was doing okay. But then God was taking him to another level, and he gets anointed. And after anointing as king, normally what should be the next step? The throne, right? But then what happens to David? Now all sorts of challenges, all sorts of issues, all sorts of suffering, and this guy's on the run. But the Bible says in the midst of that suffering, of those challenges, some certain people were drawn to him, distressed people, those in debt, those disillusioned. Think about this for a moment. If David had gone straight from anointing to the throne, those in debt, those who were distressed, those that were disillusioned, would they have had the opportunity to come and be buddies of the king? would they? No. They wouldn't even have been able to come close. But in the middle of his challenges, I think about that situation, some people who were distressed, who were disillusioned, some people who were in debt, they went from being distressed and disillusioned and became mighty men of valor. Destinies were changed like that. Now for David, he could have focused on, why is this calamity befalling me? And he could have misused that period and just been like, why are all these wars coming to me? But he didn't. During that period, when the distressed, when all those guys were drawn to him, he invested in them. He made an impact in them. And these guys who everybody saw as the no-goods in society, the no-goods in life, they became generals. They became mighty men of valor. So you might be going through challenges that you don't even get why, or sufferings that are on another level. But during this period, God wants to use you to do some things. Have a self-appraisal. What are you doing? Are you just complaining? Are you moaning? Or are you doing what God wants you to do? Would the distress that are drawn to you in this period, would they become mighty men of valor? I pray that God would help us, that we would indeed do a self-appraisal, that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to areas where we need to rectify, and that the remaining 40% of this year, my prayer is that every day of those 40 years, God would rejoice over you with singing because you will be in his will in Jesus' name. So if we rise to our feet, we're going to pray. And you're just going to pray for yourself. And you're going to pray that God would help you. That to self-appraise. If God were to send you a letter of appraisal like he sent to the Laodicean church today, what would it say? Would there be positives? Would it be all negatives? And you know, I love that Revelations 3:19. God says that the person, the people that he loves, those are the ones that he corrects. It's a great thing to get a self-appraisal. It's a great thing to get a God appraisal. So pray and say, Father, help me see myself through your eyes. Maybe I think I'm hot, but actually I'm lukewarm. Maybe I'm cold and I need some serious revival and I don't even realize it. Father, help me in the name of Jesus. You sent a letter to the Laodicean church because you love them. If they had not received that letter of appraisal, the Laodicean church without a doubt would have been spat out of God's mouth. But God said, you know what, I'm not going to spit you out right now. I'm going to send you a letter of appraisal. I'm going to give you an opportunity to rectify. So pray for yourself and say, Father, in every area where I need to rectify, in every area where I'm not as I should be, Father, open my eyes. The Bible says that God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Pray that God's word will illuminate you, that you would see yourself through his eyes, and that the things that you need to rectify, you would rectify. For some of us, we're just lazy. We're indifferent to the things of God. For some of us, we're chasing the wrong thing. That Laodicean church, they said that we're rich, we're in need of nothing. They thought they were doing good because they thought the blessings that they saw, the prosperity that they had, they thought that that was an indication of God's hand on them. But it wasn't. Say, Father, help me see through your eyes. Everything that I need to rectify, give me the grace and the will. The remaining 40% of 2018, Father, let me know your will. Let me do your will. Let me walk in your will. Let me be all that you've called me to be in the name of Jesus. Father, help me in the name of Jesus. Help me in the name of Jesus. Father, pray that even in the hardships, in the challenges, that God would help you. That like David, you would know what God wants you to do. That those that he has called you to make an impact in their lives. There's some of us that God has assigned us in 2018 to make a serious impact in some lives, and we haven't even started. 60% of the year is gone. Pray that God would open your eyes. There's some people that you are supposed to be destiny helper to in 2018. August 12, you haven't started. Pray that God would open your eyes in the name of Jesus, that you would not fail God. You would not fail your generation, that God would help you in the name of Jesus. Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Use me for your glory, Lord. Oh, Lord. I give myself away. So you myself away one more time. Us for your glory. Let us know your will and do your will. The remaining 40% of 2018, let us be who you've called us to be. Let us see through your eyes. Let us hear what you would have us hear, Father. Use us for your glory, Father. We give ourselves away to you. We say, use us, Father. Use us, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Let's share the grace and fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore.